He was a giant of literature, but even Herman Melville couldn't dream up the horror that truly happened. Long before he penned Call Me Ishmael, a real whale, massive, angry, unstoppable, struck a ship with terrifying precision. The ship was the Essex. What happened was not a tale of adventure, but a nightmare of survival, cannibalism, and a slow descent into desperation. This is the story behind Moby Dick, the true harrowing voyage of the whale ship Essex. Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the episode, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. In the early 19th century, Nantucket was the beating heart of the whaling industry. These were the days when the whale oil lit the lamps of London and New York. The seas were the oil fields of their time, and the whalers were rough men who took to the Pacific in wooden ships for years at a time, hunting the giants of the deep. The Essex was a 238-ton ship, not especially large, but proven. She had made several voyages before and was considered sturdy. In August 1819, she departed Nantucket under the command of Captain George Pollard Jr., with a crew of 20. Among them was Owen Chase, the first mate and later chronicler of the voyage. They were bound for the South Pacific, thousands of miles from any shore, where the sperm whales still roamed in great pods. It was supposed to be just another profitable hunt. No one on board suspected they'd become the hunted. The Essex was barely out of sight of land when disaster first struck. A violent squall in the Gulf Stream caught the ship broadside. The Essex was rolled almost completely onto her beam ends. Two whaleboats, essential for the hunt, were destroyed. It was an ominous beginning. Still, the crew pressed on, stopping in the Azores and Cape Verde Islands for supplies. But as they rounded Cape Horn into the vast Pacific, they found the usual whaling grounds had been overhunted. Desperate for a better catch, they sailed further west towards the remote waters near the equator. On October 1820, they anchored at the Galapagos Islands. There they restocked supplies, including 300 tortoises, live and stashed in the ship's hold as food. But they also set a fire on one of the islands, and this blaze quickly got out of hand, consuming the landscape. Years later, some would recall this reckless act as a bad omen. The sea, it seemed, would soon take its revenge. On November 20, 1820, the Essex was about 1,500 nautical miles west of the Galapagos. The men had just launched their whaleboats to pursue a pod of sperm whales spotted nearby. Suddenly, an enormous bull whale, some 87 foot long, far larger than normal, appeared alongside the ship. The creature floated motionless for a moment before turning and charging straight into the vessel. The impact rocked the Essex, smashing planks and throwing men off balance. The whale swam off briefly, only to return and strike the bow again with even greater force. This second blow proved fatal. The ship began to list and take on water. Within moments, it was clear the Essex was sinking. The men scrambled to salvage what they could. With only three small whaleboats left, they loaded them with hardtack, water casks, navigational tools, and some salvaged equipment. Then, as the Essex slipped beneath the Pacific, the real ordeal began. Adrift in the middle of the Pacific, the crew faced a bleak decision. The nearest islands were the Marquesas, 1,200 miles away, but rumours, entirely unfounded as it turned out, suggested that they were inhabited by cannibals. So instead, the officers decided to head east towards South America, nearly 2,500 miles away, against the prevailing winds and currents. Three boats, about 20 feet long, with sails and oars, no shelter, no fresh water except for what they had in barrels. Rations measured to the ounce, and the open ocean ahead. Weeks passed, the sun beat down, salt sores opened on their skin, the men grew weaker. They caught the occasional fish or bird, but mostly they starved, and one by one the water barrels dried up or were fouled. On December 20, a month after the sinking, they landed briefly on Henderson Island, a barren scrap of rock. But after a few days, the island's resources were exhausted. Three men chose to stay behind, gambling on rescue. The others sailed on into oblivion. By January, food was gone. Starvation set in. One man died, then another. At first, they buried the dead at sea. But as desperation deepened, the taboo was broken. They began to eat the bodies. Some were consumed out of necessity without ceremony. Others were chosen by lottery, a grim ritual the survivors never forgot, drawing lots to decide who would die so the others could live. The worst of it occurred aboard Captain Pollard's boat. When his young cousin Owen Coffin drew the fatal lot, Pollard offered to take his place. Coffin refused. He was shot and eaten by his crewmates. By the end of January, the boats had become separate worlds. One vanished, never to be seen again. Another, Chasers, was rescued by the British ship Indian. Of the original 20 men, only 8 were eventually saved. Pollard's boat was discovered last, a ghostly shell adrift at sea. The rescuers found Pollard and another man, Charles Ramsdale, sucking the marrow from bones. They had survived, but barely. The survivors were brought to Valparaiso, Chile, and eventually home to Nantucket. There they faced a community both relieved and horrified. Pollard, once a promising captain, only went to sea one more time, but again suffered a wreck. He was considered a Jonah, or a doomed captain. He lived quietly, a man haunted by what he'd done. Owen Chase published an account of the tragedy in 1821. His book, Narrative of the Most Extraordinary and Distressing Shipwreck of the Whale Ship Essex, became a maritime classic, and years later inspired a young Herman Melville. Melville would later meet Pollard in person, calling him a man to be looked at with a certain awe. The story of the Essex was more than a shipwreck. It was a cautionary tale about nature's power, human pride, and the fragile line between civilization and savagery. The tale of the Essex is no mere sailor's yarn. It's one of the most harrowing surviving stories in maritime history. Struck by a leviathan from the deep, the men of the Essex were cast adrift in a world where morality eroded with every passing day. Melville's Moby Dick took inspiration from this voyage, but it never told the full truth, because the truth was more terrifying than fiction. The Essex didn't just sink. It unraveled the lives of every man aboard. And in the vast, indifferent ocean, it left behind a warning about the hubris of man, the wrath of nature, and the desperate measures we take when pushed to the very edge.